Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. Before we join Pastor Dave in today's study, we would like to take a moment and invite you to join us this Easter. Our Good Friday service will be Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. here at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Easter Sunday service will be April 21st at the Spencerport High School Performing Arts Center. The service will begin at 10 a.m. Please come and join us as we celebrate Jesus this Easter. Now let's join Pastor Dave as he continues the book of Matthew with a message entitled, Jesus' Family Tree.
I've entitled this message, Jesus' Family Tree. And we'll look here at Matthew 1, verses 1 through 17 together this morning. We'll read the verses collectively, we'll pray, and then we'll sort of make a mess out of it and put it back together again, and hopefully you'll leave here just blown away by the riches in a genealogy. And maybe you came here today and you're thinking, oh my goodness, another genealogy. We just got through Nehemiah a few weeks ago. We grinded through there, so many of names, several times we had to move through genealogies. And you came here thinking, great, we're starting a New Testament book, the book of Matthew. Finally, a little bit of a break from all of these names. We'll get some stories, some miracles of Jesus. And you came today and you get 17 verses of names. But I'm going to tell you, this is probably one of my favorite genealogies to teach. I've prepared hard for this message. I think you're going to leave here this morning absolutely floored by what the Lord has given me to share with you. So please, do your best to give me your attention and hear what the Lord has. Don't check out just because it's a genealogy, a list of names. A Hebrew phone book is what it's like that we're reading through here. But the Lord is good. Every single word, it's insane, is inspired by the Spirit of God. There's nothing here in vain. I can't say that enough. Every time I teach you guys, no matter what it is, if it's the most exciting, you know, spectacular story that you've ever read, you're on the edge of your seat the whole time, you know, Jesus, you know, raising the dead, or if it's a genealogy, it is inspired, it is inerrant, it is in the Word of God. And so I'll show you that as we move through that this morning here. Matthew 1, verse 1, first book of the New Testament, it says this, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The word generation there is Genesis. It's the beginning of Jesus Christ, if you would, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham, verse 2, he begat Isaac. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat, it says in the Greek there, Judas, but the Hebrew name is Judah. That's who it's speaking of there. Matthew will do that upward towards some 50 times. He'll translate a Hebrew word and he'll write it in the Greek. That's what this book is originally written in. That was the predominant language of the day, just to help you understand why some names vary or change. Okay, and then it goes on to say that he begat Judas, or Judah and his brethren, in verse 3, and Judah begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begot Ezram, and Ezram begot Aram, and Aram, verse 4, begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed, middle of verse 5, and Obed is of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king, verse 6. And David the king begot Solomon of Ur, that had been the wife of Uriah. Not even a name mentioned, but we know her name, Bathsheba. We'll look at that in a few minutes. Solomon, verse 7, begot Rehoboam, absolute evil king. Rehoboam begot Abia. Abia begot Asa, righteous king. Asa begot Josaphat, a good king. Josaphat begot Joram, bad king. Joram begot Ozias. Ozias, verse 9, begot Jotham. Jotham begot Achaz. Achaz begot Ezekias. Ezekias, verse 10, begot Manasseh, who is the most evil king ever for the nation of Israel. But God got a hold of his heart and changed him and gave him a grandson named Josiah, as it says at the end of verse 10, who was righteous. Josiah, verse 11, begot Jeconias, who was bad, and his brethren about the time that they were carried away into Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begot Salathiel, and Salathiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, verse 13, begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor, verse 14, begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim. Achim begot Eliud. Eliud, verse 15, begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mahan. Mahan begot Jacob. Jacob, verse 16, who we love in Scripture, he begot Joseph. But look what it says here. No more begats. No more begots. Look what it says here in verse 16. Jacob begat Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ, because Jesus' father was not Joseph. That was his stepdad. His father was our heavenly father. So that's why it says that Jacob, this is Jacob's genealogy, really more accurately than the Lord Jesus Christ. But that had to be the genealogy that ties us to David for it to be official, you see, because a woman wasn't honored in that way in these days. So we get Joseph's genealogy here, who's the husband of Mary, who's the mother of Jesus the Christ. And Christ is not his last name. Some people, you know, Jesus Christ, that's not his last name. Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the Messiah. So Jesus, Jehovah's become salvation. Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the King of Kings. That's what this is here. Now, our last verse, verse 17, tells us this. So all the generations, it says here, from Abraham to David. Here we go. There's a reason he writes this. There are 14 generations. And then he says from David to the carrying away into Babylon. How many, church? 14 generations. And then from the carrying away into Babylon to Christ, our church, 14 generations. We did it. We made it through. Father, help us now. Lord, we thank you for this time. Speak to us. Help me, God, to be simple. Help me not to talk over anyone's heads, Lord. Help me to make this base and easy and wonderful for these people that you brought here today to study, Lord. Just blow them away as you've been blowing me away, God, by all the goodness that is wrapped up in these verses. There is so much, Lord. Help me to pack it together well here, simply and speedily, Lord, as time is of the essence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's do a little bit of an introduction here because we're starting a new book. There are four Gospels. The first three are referred to as the Synoptic Gospels, okay? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then John is sort of on his own. The first three primarily, essentially, I should say, deal with the Lord's Galilean ministry. John deals with the latter end of Jesus' ministry, the Judean ministry. The first three are sort of very similar in that they record a lot of the same events that Jesus was involved in and the miracles that he performed and things like that. And then John kind of comes in and writes this gospel with a different mindset, if you would. Each gospel could be represented by a face of the cherubim. As you've heard me share before when I taught you the gospel of John, when we get to Mark, when we get to Luke, I'll bring it up again because it's interesting. You got Matthew that could be represented by the face of a lion. You got Mark that could be represented by the face of an ox. You got Luke that could be represented by the face of a man. And then you got John that could be represented by the face of an eagle. Okay, now let me explain why. Matthew's audience, essentially, of course it's us here today also, but essentially he was writing to the Jew. So Matthew's got this perspective. He's got this idea that I want the Jew to understand that Jesus is the promised Messiah, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So for over 1,000 years, since, you know, the beginning of the Old Testament, they were waiting for the Messiah to come, upward of 2,000 years. There's this 400-year gap from Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. So Matthew's a perfect fit because it's a perfect bridge. It connects that silence period, those silence years between the Old Testament and New Testament. It connects the two books, if you would, and it makes them one. Because the favorite word of Matthew in this book is fulfilled. Like 40 times he says, Jesus is the fulfillment of these things. Jesus is the fulfillment of these things. He's showing the reader that everything that's in the Old Testament is about Jesus. And all that is said of the Messiah is fulfilled in Jesus. So that's why I, after much prayer, picked to teach you Matthew. Because we've been in the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. This is our 14th book of study together. And we've been in the Old Testament heavily on Wednesday nights. I mean, that's all we've done is the Old Testament. We started in Genesis. We're in 2 Samuel. So my goal is to show you that the God that was worshipped and talked about in the Old Testament is fulfilled. It is the person of Jesus Christ. Matthew does that. Almost 100 times he quotes the Old Testament in his gospel. So it's wonderful. He's writing to the Jew. That's why a lion would be the face of this gospel, because he is showing them that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the scepter of the tribe of Judah. He is the king of Judah. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He is the royal being that they're to worship. And he's going to do that wonderfully as we move through that. Does that make sense to you? Then you got Mark, which is a perfect book to be next. Because Mark is writing to the Gentile. Specifically, Mark is writing to the Romans. Now, the Romans appreciated work ethic. Mark's favorite word in his gospel is straightway. Constantly, he refers to Jesus as a man of action. He completely did this. He absolutely did this. He straightway did this. Because a Roman would appreciate that. A Roman was a workhorse. A Roman was one who got it done. So he, Mark, who's the disciple of Peter, I think Peter heavily had an influence on him in writing that book, he would appeal to that work ethic and say, that's who Jesus is. He's an ox. You understand? He's a workhorse. He came to serve and not to be served. And servants didn't have genealogies. That's why Mark's gospel doesn't have a genealogy. Because Jesus Christ is the perfect servant king. Everybody with me still? So different audiences, different mindsets. Matthew is about what Jesus said, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 through 7, all those verses of what Jesus said. Mark is about what Jesus did, if you're trying to simplify here. Then you come to Luke. Luke's audience that he is writing to, at least in his mind, that he's targeting, was the Greeks. The Greeks were obsessed with man's perfection, Greek gods and bodies and physiques and things like that. So Luke's goal here is to reveal to them that Jesus is the Son of Man. And it appeals to the humanness of Jesus and the perfection of his humanness. And it speaks of how Jesus felt. So if Matthew is about what Jesus said and Mark is about what Jesus did, Luke is about how Jesus felt as a human being. And it talks to us, especially him as a doctor. Luke was a doctor. He gives great detail of this is how he felt. This is the perfect man and what he felt when he was here on earth. And it lets us in on the emotion of Jesus. It lets us in on personality of Jesus. Okay, so it gives us a little bit different of a twist. Is everybody getting this so far? Would you nod your head if you're with me? Okay, this is good stuff. This is rich. It'll help you understand. Some people say, why are there four gospels? Why do we need four gospels? I appreciate them. They all give me a little bit different of a view and different insights and revelations of my Lord. I need all four gospels. Now check this out. John, he's kind of off on his own. John wrote his gospel way later in life. John focuses now on, if there was a face that represented his gospel, it'd be the eagle, because it shows that Jesus is deity. Jesus is not only the Son of God, Jesus is God. And he's writing to the church, and he's writing to the world, and he's writing so that all would believe in the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now he, unlike Matthew and unlike Mark, Matthew, as we just saw, takes the genealogy of Jesus and it takes us back to Abraham. I'll get there in a minute. Luke, in his third chapter of his gospel, takes the genealogy of Mary. There's no contradiction. Luke is Mary. Matthew is Joseph. He takes the genealogy, because he's describing the Son of Man, past Abraham all the way to Adam, the first man ever created. He connects Jesus to Adam. John does this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he takes the genealogy of Jesus, and he brings it all the way back to eternity past. Glorious. Because he's describing him as the eagle, as the anointed one, as deity, as the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus. So you got the four Gospels. They're unique. They have many of the same ideas and stories and principles recorded in them, but they're diversified in that there are different people being used by the Spirit of God to pen them and write them. As I've often illustrated before, if an event happened after service and four of us were witnesses of it, we'd all have a little bit of a different spin, twist on what we observed, right? I mean, that's human nature. It'd be the same storyline. It would be the same plot, essentially, but it would diversify in that we are different. And we are going to pick up different key notes of what had happened. That makes sense for everybody? Okay? Important for us to see that here. The second thing that I want to highlight for you, and I don't know if you'll appreciate this or not, but I hope so, because I was listening to PhDs, guys who graduated from Harvard, and studying intensely yesterday to help you see something wonderful here in Scripture, because this is absolutely, I was flabbergasted. My wife came down the stairs yesterday morning, and I'm listening to Chuck Missler, and I'm going back and forth between him and this guy, Irvin Payne, who died in the early 1900s, but he was from Russia. He graduated from Harvard. He had a major in mathematics and in other studies of math. I don't even understand it all, but then the Lord saved him, and he began to develop all sorts of commentary in Scripture that is, it's next world level. It's crazy. So I'm watching all these things, and she's trying to read her Bible, and I got my laptop on my lap just listening to these dry, monotone PhDs describe these things in effort to simplify and hand it to you very packaged. So, Lord, help me, and please bear with me here. We have here something interesting that I can't just teach by because it's too beautiful. Matthew says here at the end of verse 17 there, he describes that there's this series of 14s. You caught that, right? I mean, you got Abraham to David. There's 14 generations clean. Then you got David to captivity in Babylon, 14 generations not clean. There would have been 17 technically, but he removes a few to make it clean and make it 14. And then you got from the carrying away to Babylon to the time of Jesus Christ, another series of 14. So 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations, highlighting Israel's major history. I mean, those are major points of their history. Abraham, the father of their faith. I mean, more than Christianity derives from Abraham. You got Judaism that derives from Abraham. You got Islam that derives from Abraham. I mean, there are multiple faiths that claim that he is the origin of it. So this guy is pretty significant to the Jew, to the Muslim, and to you and me, right? I mean, he's an important figure in Scripture. So he's highlighted. David, the greatest king to ever reign in Israel, is highlighted. David, the one who the Son of God would be born of his lineage. I'm going to hit that in just a moment. And then you have, of course, the time of the carrying away of the children of Israel to Babylon, which is when the book of Nehemiah takes place. Everybody still with me? To the time of Jesus Christ, okay? 14 generations. What's this all about? Well, first of all, let me say this. It was designed by the Holy Spirit, who's inspiring Matthew, to make it easy for the reader to memorize. 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. Because they would memorize genealogies. Genealogies for them were everything. Genealogies were the connection to their past. For them to know which tribe they were from, for them to understand which lot they inherited, what their place in life was. I mean, genealogies were a big deal. And let me say this, if your name was in here, it'd be a big deal to you too. But because it's not, and because most of these names are foreign to us, we sort of think, man, this is boring. But it's not boring at all. It's outstanding, especially to the Jewish reader. So Matthew breaks up in three sets of 14 so that they could easily memorize, or at least that was the goal, that they'd be able to memorize what it is that he had written down. Now, he does something here amazing. He uses something here called gematria. It's where we get our word geometry from. What that means then is this. It's a numeric value given to every letter in the alphabet. We're different. In English, in the United States, we read and write in English, but our numeric system is Arabic, right? I mean, that's how it works for us. For the Jew, which was Hebrews, for the Greeks, which is the language spoken of the day, their alphabet was also their numeric system. So every letter had a numeric value. So let me give you an example with a wonderful name. We'll use David because it's easy. There were no distinct vowels in this language, in this day, written form. So David would not be spelled D-A-V-I-D. It would be D-W-D. 4, 6, 4. You with me? 4 plus 6 is 10. 10 plus 4 is 14. 14 divided by 2 is 7. Gematria, there's representations of the letters and the words in every single scripture that has a numeric value. Crazy, right? Listen, this is amazing. That's what it means. Gematria is speaking of every letter having a numeric value. I don't understand why we didn't do this in English. This would make so much sense. I was explaining this to my kids yesterday at breakfast, and Olivia was getting it. I was telling her yesterday, like, so she's like, oh, so A would be 1 and B would be 2? Exactly. Every letter would have a numeric value. That was the case in their day, okay? So they would see things and understand things and get what was going on that you and I don't get. If we even read the first 17 verses, right? Let's be honest. If we even read them, I mean, I'm looking up, I read Pastor Chuck Smith's transcripts before I teach every Bible study because he's the founder of Calvary. I like to check myself before I wreck myself too bad with you guys. And it's just something I've done for 15 years now since I started teaching. It's a habit. I mean, I've already read almost all of the Bible with him, but I still do it just because I like to. Pastor Chuck doesn't even read these verses. He says, here's Matthew. He goes, a lot of these names have nothing to do with us. Let's go right to verse 17. I mean, I'm shocked because he's the Bible man. He's verse by verse, line by line. A lot of people don't read them. We read them. We explore them. We look into this, okay? So they would see something. Oh, man, we haven't even started study yet. This is an introduction. Listen, they would understand. that there was a numeric value to every letter and every word of every verse of this portion of God's word. Amazing. We don't do that. They did. Now, I'm trying to explain something to you that is beautiful here, that on top of the gematria, there's something called the heptadic structure. And you got to understand that to understand the gematria. It means this heptadic structure is the study of sevens, a numeric structure specifically of sevens that is in God's word. Matthew would have never done this on purpose. It is proof that the anointing of the Spirit of God was upon him to be able to construct scripture like this in such a way. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. We'll take the first 11 verses. Those first 11 verses, you don't got to look yet, that we just read through here in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew uses a vocabulary, listen, of 49 words in those first 11 verses. 7 times 7 is what, church? 49. That's heptadic structure. It has to be able to break down by a 7. Everything has to be divisible by a 7, or it doesn't count, it doesn't work. And for the Jew, for somebody who scrutinized scripture, a scribe, they would crumble it up and throw it out if it wasn't able to be done so. That's how much of a value they place on gematria, their study of numbers. With me? Okay. You'll get it by the end. Listen, 266 letters in the first 11 verses. 266, that's 38 times 7. Again, divisible by 7. I'm going to name 14 things. Watch this. Here we go. He changes names into the Greek 28 times. 7 times 4? 28, right? Divisible by 7. There's 140 vowels. How many times does 7 go into 140? 20. There's 126 consonants. How many times does 7 go into 126? 18. Out of those 49 words, 28 begin with a vowel. 7 times 4? 28. You engineers are liking this. The rest of you want to kill me.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.